guys, welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cooking Podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host. So, happy December. rabbits. Does anyone else do that? I was explaining this to Pip the other day because she said, what is that? Where you say, I've heard a couple variations on it. So the first one that I ever heard was that the first thing you were supposed to say on the first of a new month is rabbits. Like, it's supposed to be the first thing that you say and it's supposed to be good luck. And then someone else I know does it where if you just say it on the first of the month, they say rabbit, and it's the same thing, it's supposed to be good luck, I think. I don't know. I find that kind of thing really interesting. And I'd be interested to hear if anyone else has it. Because it's one of those things that apparently is in England and America, so I would be really interested to hear if it's anywhere else. But anyway, happy December. I hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great November. I want to apologise for missing the episode last week again. I'm really trying not to do that, because I like to have my schedule, follow my schedule. Things happen, you know, it happens. As long as it doesn't happen every week, I'm trying to be a little more forgiving to myself and a little bit looser with it. I don't even remember. I think it was just because it's just a busy time of year, right? Especially in America, like, you've got Thanksgiving and all of that kind of thing too, which is, there's a whole thing with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an interesting holiday to me, just because we don't have it in England. It is a purely American thing. Before I moved here, I had no idea. For one, people in England don't really know anything about Thanksgiving, because we don't celebrate it. But I also had no idea about the kind of cultural stuff around it, and all the issues that there are, and valid issues, I think. So that's been a whole thing where since I've lived here, it's like learning about that and like hearing different people talk about it and all of that kind of thing. But that, a lot of Americans still celebrate Thanksgiving. So around Thanksgiving, you've just got navigating people a lot and family and all of that stuff. So that was kind of going on. And some of the things, like, we just got our floor redone in our house, which is really nice. It looks great. It's like wood look. Is it linoleum? But it looks really good, and it's made our house feel way different in a really good way, so I really like that. And then we've just, last time I shared an episode, we were going through a whole thing with our pets and struggling with the money and things like that. That's only now really just starting to kind of get better. The GoFundMe is still up if you want to help with it. I still really, really appreciate it. We're still definitely not completely out of the woods, but we're getting there. And in terms of animal health, we're doing a lot better. Sweet Pea is finally starting to feel better. She's limping a lot less. And she's a lot happier, so I'm really glad about that. And then, because for a minute she was limping really bad and we thought we were going to have to take her back to the vet, and then she suddenly changed and started to be a lot better. So we're like, oh, that's great. The kitty that we rescued, she's doing great. She would just had her spayed, I think, or we're just about to last time I recorded. And she's doing great. She's healed, like, perfectly. She loves to play. When we first got her, she was super serious, so it's nice to see her, like, fun side, her playful side come out. And our other cats, especially our younger cat, is having, like, the time of his entire life, like, playing with her. They just run up and down the house, like, playing all the time, and it's just so sweet to see that. So I think, like, bringing her into the house has been great. It's been really good for our whole house, but, like, that kind of kittenish, she's about 6 to 9 months old, we don't really know exactly, but she's still got that playful kitten energy without that extreme kittenness to it, so that's perfect to me. But yeah, my green card stuff, we sent it off, they cashed the check, which has put us in overdraft right now. So, now would be a great time to book a reading or buy a deck or something like that if you feel called to or you want to, or to donate to the GoFundMe if you would like to, just to help a bit with that if you want. But they've done that, so that's good. That's a weight off. The whole process of the green card and all of that, I feel like I should make. I don't know that it wouldn't really be an episode on here, maybe, unless it was just like a Q&A of about my life in general. But I feel like I should make a thing about the journey of that, because it's been a journey. But at the same time, it's like I'm here and I'm living this life that I love, and I love my wife and I love my home, and I love being here. So it's like it's completely worth it. It's a long journey. So there's that. So that's been cash now, which is great. And yeah, I'm just feel like I'm doing a lot better than I was a couple of weeks ago. It was November was kind of weird and hard. Actually the last part of this year has been like that. Like, it feels like there's been like just every month has been something going on, and it's like, oh, December, be kind. It's been kind so far, so I'm really glad about that. I'm excited about Christmas and been buying presents for Chelsea when I can. Little things. We're having like a small Christmas this year, which is perfect. Just happy. And I really don't need a lot, It's like really don't need a lot of things or anything like that. It's just really to be together, and is really this blessing, and I'm always grateful for it, and I intend always to be grateful for it. What else? Oh, gonna do my quick plug before I get into the episode today. bear with me. Thank you to the people that bought decks and book things over the Black Friday, Cyber Monday, etc. sale. I did have one in the shop, and got a couple of sales from that, so that was really, really nice. The Vitae Oracle, my third Oracle deck, you can now purchase in the shop. It is now ready for purchase. And you can pre-order my new deck, which is the Go Beyond Tarot and Oracle. I want to do a separate episode on that where I talk about it and go into it, kind of give like a kind of walkthrough of it, I guess, or just sort of get into it more and the process behind it and all of that. But that is there for pre-order if you so wish. I love it. I think it's my favorite deck so far. I'm really, really proud of it. It's a mix, so it's the major arcana of the tarot, and then the it's like 32 oracle cards. Hang on one second, I'm gonna take the phone because our air has been making this really odd sound. So I'm gonna go and turn it off. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Is it off? Yeah, there it is. Okay, so that should calm down in a minute. All right. Yeah, so that's available for pre-order in the shop right now. It will start shipping in January of 2020. There's lots of readings available. What am I trying to say? I'm gonna be starting to offer snail mail readings again soon, so I'm excited about that. Haven't done that in a while, so yeah, looking forward to it. I'm trying to get some new things into the shop. I'm also thinking about doing some more recorded like meditations or journeys. I want to do a past life one. I get asked a lot about past life regression, like, do you do past life regression? And I do not right now, but I get asked a lot. And so next year I'm actually hoping, fingers crossed, that the funds and things will come together, maybe that I can go to the Omega Institute and do the past life thing with Brian Weiss. I would really like to do that, but we'll see. It's about $1,000, so I don't know if that'll happen, but we'll see. I'd really like to. I want that to happen. But right now, I don't do past life regression, and honestly, I don't know if I actually legally can. I need to look into that more before I go do the training, because I don't want to do the training and then it'd be like, well, you need to be a, trained licensed psychologist just because there are psychological aspects to it. So I need to research that more. But I do past life readings, and I love them. They're one of my favorite readings, so you can get that in the shop if you're interested. Just go to the Etsy, which is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com, and just search for past life reading, and it'll come up, and there's lots of different ways to do it. But I love past lives, and people ask me about it a lot. So I'm thinking about doing some kind of past life journey, recording, something like that. And I think I might also do like a grounding recording, and like a clearing energy one. And what I might do is record a couple different things and then make like a pack or like a bundle, where you buy it and you download it, and it's like a zip of however much, and sell that. So that might be in the sh that will be in the shop, but I haven't done that yet. That's just an idea that I've got. What else is there? Yeah, you can, as always, come by the Four of Wands on Fridays and Saturdays and see me from 11 a.m. to 4 p. No, 4:30 on a Friday, and then 10:30 to 4 on a Saturday. I am there and ready to read for you if you so desire. I also have spiritual guidance sessions, which, to explain this a little bit more, because maybe it's not always obvious, like, how it's different, or at least how I define it as different. Spiritual guidance sessions don't always include a reading. They don't always include cards. It tends to be more where you come in with questions and I help you with them, like, how do I do this? Why is this happening? My house is haunted. I am having this experience. I had this dream. What's going on? How do I ground? How do I clear my energy? What do I do about this situation? Sometimes too, in a reading, I just won't use the cards. Like, the information will just come through really smoothly, and I just don't need the cards. Which is not to say that if I do use cards that it's any less than, or one is better than the other, because it's not. My reading just is just as the natural flow, and some things work in certain ways and some things work in other ways. Yeah, but that's what the spiritual guidance session is. Also for mediums, I tend to help a lot of starting mediums or people that have mediumship abilities, but they don't know how to use it or what to do with it. That can be a spiritual guidance thing, or people that are psychic and they want to start using those skills, or they want to get control over them. I do that. That's available too. I need to really, I think, put that in the shop as well, like a separate thing of, like, if you want to talk about this but you're not necessarily that bothered about, being specifically tarot reading or specifically some kind of reading. If you just want to, pick my brain about something, or ask about something and kind of hash something out and figure out what's going on, we can definitely do that. But that's what that spiritual guidance session is. Yeah. I think is that everything? I think I covered everything. All right, so now to get into the episode itself. Today I'm going to be talking about authentic, probably weird truth, and copying in the spiritual community and in the spiritual business world. All right, so I do actually want to start this by saying this is coming from a personal experience that I'm having at the moment of noticing someone that's been copying the way that I do things. And I'm not saying this to attack them at all. I don't know if they'll hear this or not. And I'm not calling them out, because I'm not interested in it from that perspective. I'm not interested in it's not to be aggressive, and it's not to be angry at them. And yeah, I don't want to do that. But I have noticed someone recently that I know, but don't know super well, like, personally, but we're in the same sphere with each other. Anyway, I'm not gonna get fully into it, because I really don't want to give away, like, details of who it is. But I've noticed, like, they have been, whenever I've put something out, they've, like, a week later put out something either almost exactly the same, and not just what they're doing, but in terms of wording, which is really what, like, tripped me onto it, was like, I would put something out and then I would see them change how they had been saying something or change how they had been doing something to be almost exactly the same wording as I use in my things, that I hadn't put out before I'd done this certain thing. Or, yeah, there's just this kind of thing of like, well, you've never used that before and now you're using it now. You know, and also I try to think of copying as like, for one, humans replicate, they copy each other. It's not always a conscious thing, I don't even think, and it's, you know, it happens. So there's that thing of like, nothing is 100% original or whatever, we're all influenced by each other. And also that ego can come into copying a lot, where it's like, ooh, don't copy me. And it's like, am I the only reader in the world? No. Am I the only person that does probably any of the things that I do, any of the services? I'm probably not. You know, there's thousands of people that can do past life readings. There's thousands of people that do spiritual guidance. There's thousands and thousands of tarot readers. There's all of that. It's like none of that is original and just me. So I try and think of it as like, even looking at it, being kind of like, for one, I'm not the only person that does this. So, and you know, I've probably like seen things and thought, oh, that's really cool. I want to delve into that, like that kind of reading, like past lives. I know I had had past life readings and thought they were really interesting. And so I took a class on how to do it and then I started to do it. So it's like, it's not an original thing and I'm not coming at it from that point of view at all. And I'm always very aware of ego as well, and just be like, you know what, just ego, just chill. It's not really that big of a deal. But I have noticed it being a thing. And I think the main thing that's kind of gotten me with it is that the person that's doing it is about twice my age, and a man. So, I mean, I don't want to get into, you know, there's a whole thing there, but to me, the thing I'm finding frustrating is that in order to get my things kind of ironed out and to get like a kind of hopefully cohesive look to things and way that I do things, I've put in hours and hours and hours and hours of work. You know, like I have been working on this for a really long time and really put a lot of research into what type of readings I offer and how do I want to do it, and you know, what do people actually want from this. And so it feels kind of, I think on that ego level, it's a little galling to me to have someone come along and just kind of like pick off the top and go like, oh, I like that, yeah, I'll take that. You know, it's like, you didn't really do the work for that. But at the same time, again, that's an ego thing, you know? Well, I'm just trying to be like, you know, it's fine. But I wanted to talk about this because it's not just this one experience that I've had. This happens a lot in the spiritual community and in spiritual business. And I think it speaks to something like deeper down. I really, and I mentioned this in my Instagram stories when I was talking about doing this episode, but I really don't think that copying comes from a, you know, intentionally malicious, intentionally damaging place. Like, I really don't think people are in it just to be a butt. I think it comes a lot from insecurity and trying to find somewhere to fit and thinking that you need to do something the way I do it, or thinking you need to do it exactly the way that person over there does it, you know, because they got popular with it or they did well with it, so I should just do that. And it's like that really goes to that like insecure place, and that makes me sad because I'm going to talk about this, but like it's you're never going to be able to replicate that same thing that they had, because for them it was like an intuitive kind of intrinsic, maybe that's the word I'm looking for, spark that made them want to do that thing, or
Like, it came from within them, it just naturally bubbled up. And so it doesn't matter how much you try to replicate that, you can't have that spark that they had for it. You know, it's like, you just, because you're not them, you can't be them. You can, like, try to copy someone down to a T and copy everything about them, and you still won't be that person. So, and it makes me sad, because it's like, you have your intrinsic spark. There's nothing that person has as a soul, as a being, as a person, that you don't also have. And so to try to, like, put that person's persona, or put that, what you think of that person as, and to try and, like, put that over your own, is like, you're really doing a disservice there to yourself, you know? So it just makes me feel sad. Like, and I want to talk about a little bit too the reaction of copying, because, you know, as long as there's been people, probably there's been copying, you know, but, like, online it's really easy to see the way people react to copying. And there's different kinds of copying as well, and I do want to talk about that some as well. But people do tend to get defensive about copying. And I mean, even for myself, I have that little bit of that reaction of, like, you know? Because it's like, you put that work in and you do that work, and then someone, it seems like someone just comes along and, like, takes it, sometimes wholesale, and just, like, slaps it onto their thing. And you're like, hang on, like, I did the work for that. And then it can also trip up your own personal things of, like, are they going to do better than me, you know, which is, that's a whole competition thing, because it's like, no, and you probably are going to appeal to different people anyway, because at the core of it, you are different people. Their personality is different than your personality, and so you're going to attract certain people to want to work with you, and they're going to attract certain people to want to work with them, and you know, there's no inherent crossover there. They're not stealing from you, people, clients, whatever, and you're not stealing from them, etc. So it's like that competition, and when you get that very, like, competitive, oh, they're, like, taking my things, and this is my thing, and, you know, and your breathing starts going, it's like just taking a, or at least how I try to think of it, is like just taking a breath, taking a step back, and thinking, it's okay, because whoever resonates with me might not resonate with them, and vice versa. There might be people who love their style and don't love mine, and so they're not the right people, they're not the right fit for me, or I'm not the right fit for those people anyway, and that person is. And so, you know, great. But there's also this thing where I think it does trip, like, some part of, like, an animal brain kind of thing, where it's like someone's following you and kind of watching what you're doing, and you're like, what are you doing? You know, it makes you kind of edgy and, like, nervous, because you kind of just feel their energy, like, in your sphere. And, you know, copying too, you know, if you're copying someone's ideas, yeah, it kind of sucks. But I don't want to gloss over the fact that there are lots of people out there that don't just copy an idea, they copy, you know, like, I mean, the internet, copyrighted images is a huge thing, where companies, and not just small companies, like, big companies will steal artwork from people and make a killing on it, and that is just awful. And I don't want to gloss over the fact that that absolutely does happen, you know, and it's very different. It's like, you might take my wording for something, but you're not taking, like, my artwork and trying to resell it, you know. So it's like, is that, I think that's different, and it's, I don't really have time to get into all the nuances of it, but it is different to me. And so I understand why people are protective of things and don't want copying to happen, because it's your livelihood. And essentially, to be honest, copying my exact wording for things and copying my exact way of doing things is also, like, you're trying to copy how I do that thing, I can only assume, in order to hit the exact same target that I'm trying to hit, you know? And so, And I really don't, when I'm saying that, I'm thinking about it purely in a business sense of, sometimes it can be hard in, like, a thing like this, where business is also people, And I really don't like thinking about my clients as, like, numbers at all. But, like, just purely from a business standpoint of making a living and being able to live, which is what I do from this work, because it's what I do all the time, it's like, yeah, you feel that bit of competition. You feel that, and it feels unfair. It's not like, oh yeah, me, you, and that person over there are all drawn to the same thing, and we all, like, organically have the inspiration to do it, or whatever. It's like, no, you came along and you intentionally copied what I'm doing to try to do the same thing, you know, to try to, in some way, feels like, take what I built up. And so that's a whole thing too. But yeah, copying, it's complicated, and there's different levels of it, you know. And so I really didn't want to come into this and be like, oh yeah, it's fine if someone copies you, and it's fine, like, and to do that to me feels like it would be going and, like, glossing over that kind of fact that you really can be, you know, messing with someone's livelihood when you do that. So yeah, anyway, I've spoken for nearly 30 minutes already, so I'm going to go to the ad break, and then when I come back, I'm going to talk more about that authentic spark thing and some other things. All right, be right back. Talk more about spiritual, the spiritual community with copying and things like that. But I also want to try to give maybe some suggestions on ways that you can research and things without copying, because I think that copying, like I said, is kind of a human thing, and a lot of the time comes from insecurity, and I think it comes a lot of the time from people thinking, you know, my own thing, like, they don't have confidence in their own ideas, they don't have the confidence and the belief that people will like their ideas and find them, or it's like, this is a completely new thing that I've never seen before, and I don't know how to talk about it, I don't know how to get people to see it, you know, all of that. And so it's, I get why people copy, and like I said earlier, I don't want to put out, like, aggressive energy towards it, because I don't think that serves it. So I want to try and help to find ways to be able to do research and things like that without doing that copying. But first of all, I want to talk more about, like, copying in the spiritual community and the spiritual business community. This spiritual business feels like a really weird term to me, but there's no other real way that I can think to put it. So, I don't know. But, okay, so, coming at the copying in the spiritual community and spiritual business, I'm going to come at this from the way that I have seen it, just so I can talk to it from a, you know, from what I've seen. I can't talk about things that I haven't experienced. So, I like to do this thing, and I call it wiki-walking, which I don't know if you've ever heard that term, but it actually comes from a term online, which is like when you read Wikipedia pages and you start clicking links from that page to another page and then that page to another page, and like an hour later you're like, how did I end up here, you know? That's wiki walking. And I just call anything that's like that wiki walking, even though it's not technically on Wikipedia. So I like to wiki walk on Instagram and look at different profiles. So I like to see, like, who, if I like someone, who do they follow, who do they like, or what, you know, and kind of find new people that way. And I think a lot of people do this. And something I have noticed is that, and this seems to be especially prevalent in spiritual businesses, that I look at their profile and their, the It's like the same thing over and over again. And it's not just that they're offering the same services as another person, but it's the wording. It's like it's worded in exactly the same way as another person, you know? And I'm always like, why is that? I think here it's important to talk about things like trends and, you know, that kind of thing. And also I think like cultural tendencies. Like I really do think, especially if we look at things like astrology, and like the astrology of the whole world, that there are certain things that we're drawn to collectively, you know, at certain points in time. So I think that does lead to there being certain types of work or certain types of interests and areas of work that come up or go down at certain times, and it does go with that energy. So I don't think it's completely conscious that we have these tides go this way and then that way. And I think also with trends, which is, you know, a super like capitalist thing too, I think it's like this thing sells well, this thing's popular right now, so I'm gonna capitalize on that, I'm gonna use that and like key into that area so that I can work in that area, or people that are interested in that will find me, you know, that's a business thing. But I also think it's this unconscious thing that we see people doing something and wording something in a certain way, and at least on Instagram, you know, it's the people that have like 10 million followers or like thousands and thousands and thousands of followers, and they word something in a certain way, or they do something in a certain way, they make something look a certain way, and it becomes this like trickle down thing. Or, well, that feels really like a hierarchy. I don't know, I don't support that hierarchical thing, and I really don't like the idea that that person that has, you know, a million followers is somehow intrinsically better than anyone that has 100 or 2 or whatever. It's like that's the mentality online a lot of the time, and it's just not true. That person's not better than you. Brad Pitt is not better than you, you know, not that Brad Pitt to my knowledge is a spiritual entrepreneur, but you know, it's numbers and popularity do not make any difference in the quality of that person or the whatever. Like it just isn't true, at least in my opinion. But I do think that's how it happens. It's like these big accounts or these things that everyone sees, they word something in a certain way or they do something in a certain way, and they kind of are making a brand of it sometimes, and then other people start to take that as well and go, well, yeah, that's like a big thing, so I'm gonna go with that. And over time it creates this like thing where you can walk 100 profiles and they all say the same thing, and it bothers me because it's like, that's not your authentic self, you know, that's not really you. Like, and I know with a profile, you know, you've got what, 140 characters, I don't know, it's not a lot, and so you kind of have to go broad strokes trying to figure out how exactly to explain what it is that you do. And so I understand people using those like phrases or what, keywords or whatever that are popular, because you're trying to use that space. But I think some of it too comes from this feeling of like, I have to do it this way, I have to be that, because that's the thing that's really popular right now, that's the thing that everybody wants, right? And it's like, well, there might be, yeah, demand for it, but is the demand for all that many people trying to do that exact same thing? Maybe not, you know? When I really feel like it would be so much better, it would serve the individual better, and it would serve the people that ultimately were trying to be of service, right? So it would serve our clients better if we kind of strayed away from that and actually like said who we are and be who we are. And just be like, yep, this is my thing. It's kind of weird. Or maybe it's kind of weird, you know, like you've never seen it before. Or I do things in this way that I've never seen done before or whatever. And like, this is how I do my thing. Because that's your authentic self. That's your spark. And I think when we try to, when I see people kind of basically copy like the exact thing or the exact wording for something, it's like it becomes kind of empty. Like it's, if I can I almost get like a resonance from words, and it's like you, that doesn't mean anything to that person, or like they didn't really put a lot of thought into that exact way of wording it, and it just, it makes me feel like I see it and I just, it's frustrating, but not in an angry way, just like in a, like you can, like if you do you instead, you know, of doing that, I think you would do a lot, you would be more successful in the way that you're wanting to be by doing that copying, and you would also be serving people more, which ultimately is what you want to do, so that would make you feel more fulfilled. It's just, I think this like copying, it just creates this like glut, I guess, of kind of like the same thing over and over, and then it just doesn't work in my opinion. Which again, like I said before, there's thousands and thousands of tarot readers and thousands of Reiki healers and thousands of energy workers and thousands of whatever, you know, it's like, I'm not saying that you have to be the one and only person in the world that does this thing, otherwise you're doing it wrong, and I really hope it doesn't come across that way, but you know, how you read tarot and how I read tarot is probably different. So you, for example, taking my way of explaining how I read tarot and applying that to you, well, that, you know, won't be the best fit, because it's not going to be the exact way that you read. And it's, I think, like I was saying before, it comes down to this thing of, like, that insecurity that how I do things, how I read, how I, whatever, is not good enough, and people aren't going to like it enough. So I'm going to take that thing the way that person over there does it, who people seem to like, and I'm going to try and do that too. And it's like, people can feel that in some resonant way, where they're like, something here isn't completely lining up with it. And I think that kind of puts people off. But the other thing is, you're trying to imitate their energy, and you've got your own energy. Like, you've got your own specific unique thing that is a gift, and no one else can replicate you. It feels like such a waste to, and I hate the word waste, but it feels like a waste of your own energy to try to cover that energy with someone else just because they're more, you know, popular, or they make more money, or whatever it is. Like, it just, like, yeah, but I see it a lot, like, and there's certain words that kind of do it for me, like I get, there's things I see a lot that this tends to happen, is like soul coach, and I'm an empowerment coach, and I coach people to like step out of their fear and into their like strongest, most empowered self. So I'm trying to like keep my voice neutral, but it's not doing very well. But like, I just see that over and over and over again, and it's like, how? Okay, so that's what you do. How do you do it? Like, tell me. I want to know, how do you specifically do that? And also, what does that mean to you? What is a soul coach? What is an empowerment coach? What is a, you know, how do you help people step out of fear? What are you focused on exactly? Like, which aspect of fear, or how do you do it? Like, don't give me these like over glossing terms where I'm like, I don't know what that is, I don't know what that means, and if I don't know what it means as a customer, I don't care. And that's just the thing about business, if someone doesn't know what that is and you can't make it like unique to you in some way, really obviously and right off the bat, it's like, well, why should I care, you know? Like, what exactly are you giving that I might want? Because if you're a business, you're trying to appeal to your client, and I'm a prospective client, so I'm looking at it like, what are you actually telling me? Because you can feel that resonance or not resonance, lack of resonance with those terms, I find. And there's all sorts of different things. And again, this really isn't to attack anyone specifically, or to get super personal. But it's just what I see. And it's just, I don't know, we need that differentiation in order to use that unique spark that we have to serve who we're supposed to serve. You know, like, you and I might, for example, read for the same person. That's completely fine. Great. Our readings, our way of serving that person is going to be different from each other because we have different energies, and so that person is interfacing with us and our energy, and then we're, you know, communicating with each other and each other's energy, and I'm helping them with one thing, or I'm serving them in one way, whatever, they're growing, and then you're serving them in another way and they're growing with you in a different area, you know. And so, like, if you and I then try and do the exact same job for the exact same person and we're trying to serve in the same way, but yours is authentic because you came up with this idea or you have this driving passion to it, and I'm just thinking, well, that's popular, so I'm gonna do it, there's gonna be like resonance issues there. You can't have two things fill the same exact space, right? And humans aren't made to be like that. We don't fill the exact same space as each other. We have that uniqueness to us, and that's how that can be such a strength in this industry of serving and like spiritual serving and spiritual helping people to grow and helping them to, you know, I don't take any issue with wanting to help people feel empowered and wanting to help people step out of fear and all of that. That's completely great. But do it in the way that you feel called to do it, not because it's the big thing right now, or you saw, you know, that person over there doesn't, and they have however much followers or whatever. Like, that's not a good enough impetus for it, and people will feel that. So then what happens is either, you know, you don't get any clients from it and you feel really crappy because you're like comparing yourself because you're directly trying to copy someone. So you're like, well, why does it work for them and not for me? Well, because the resonance is off. Or you don't get the same result because you're never going to get that exact same result as that person over there that was the you know, they're coming from that authentic place. And I think that's the thing. It's not that you have to be unique, finger quotes, as in, I had an idea that no one else has ever had in the entire world, and that's it, and only I can have that idea. Because even that goes back to our ego too, and it's like, I have to be separate, I have to be individual. It's like, no, you don't have to be. and separation is an illusion and all of that. but you know, it has to come from that spark, it has to come from that place. And I do think that's where that uniqueness comes out, because you will do things in naturally because of your experiences, your personality, your energy, in a different way than I will. You can do a past life reading and I can do a past life reading, and it's going to be different because the way that we view it, the way that we come at it, the way that we do it is going to be different to each other, you know? And so that's, I think, why it's so important to have that differentiation. And to use your unique energy and not try to use someone else's, like, to try and kind of put someone else's energy over the top of yours. Because ultimately, it's not serving you, and it's also not serving the people that you're trying to serve. You'll serve a lot better and be a lot happier and healthier about it if you do it from that place of your, like, what's genuinely coming up in you. What are you inspired to do? So, I think I'm done with that part. So, okay, now I want to give some suggestions on how to research without copying. So, first I want to say that I think it's completely okay to be inspired by someone and the way that they do things. That's human nature. We're inspired by other humans. We're inspired by the world. We're inspired by creations. We're inspired by beings, whatever kind of being they are, you know. So I'm not saying that taking that inspiration and building from it is a bad thing. It's not, and it's a human thing. So if I thought it was bad, it'd be like, that would just not be good. but I think it's how you use it and what you do with it, like, and at what stage you use it as well. I think doing, like, I mean, you've heard of, like, market research, right? That's literally looking at other people in the market and how they do things, and people that offer similar things or services to you, and people that, you know, offer different things, whatever, that's market research, where you're just looking at different people's ways of doing something and getting ideas about how to do it. But that's what it is. It's like those ideas, that inspiration of, okay, like, I see that this is a thing that's out there. Well, that really interests me and I'm really intrigued by that. Which aspect of that am I intrigued by? How can I build off that? What can I do with that? You know, using it to like spark your inspiration of how you want to do something or what you want to do. And something I really like to do or have done in building my business is when I'm doing that market research is look at what's the feeling that I'm getting from that person. Because usually that's what it is. We're very feeling-based beings and we like the feeling that that person gives. Well, that's great because we can take that feeling and say, okay, they make me feel like this and I love that. So what about that do I love? What about that am I interested in? What does that give me that I feel like I need, you know? I'm gonna go here into someone that I follow who is kind of in a similar field, kind of not, like, she's in psychology and healing from trauma and things, is Andrea Glick, and she's the somatic witch on Instagram. I love her, so many people do, and the feeling I get from her is, like, understanding. I have curiosity about myself and trauma and healing, and she talks about, like, giving information, but she gives information, she teaches, she like fosters that curiosity that I have and makes me feel like it's not just me, I'm not on my own. You know, other people have this experience, here's what you can do. She teaches new ways to look at things. She looks at the somatic response a lot and the nervous system, which I find fascinating. And yeah, so it's like when I see her posts and they really resonate with me, what about it is resonating? Like, what do I like? What's the feeling that I get? Well, I just said what the feeling is, you know, but even looking at, okay, how does she post things? She tends to post these quotes, and they're like really clear, really simple quotes that kind of get to the kernel of what she's sharing in that post, and then she goes into it. Well, I love that. It makes it really clear and simple. So what am I taking from that? Okay, I like things when they're very clear and simple and, you know, I can tell instantly what that thing is. So how can I use that inspiration then to maybe communicate what I do in that way? You know, maybe I want to communicate more in that clear and simple way. Can I make my own communication, you know, cut out the extraneous stuff or whatever? I don't know that I can because I'm just listen to me. I'm wordy and verbose and all that stuff. And so it's like, you know, you can be inspired by something or really like something and it's not a fit for you. And this is something too. It's like, if you just try to copy someone else's thing, their offering, their way of speaking, their whatever, you might not go through that process where you go, actually, that's not me. You know, I'm not just to the point and you know, I don't just write like two sentences and it's like, bam, perfect. I love to write. I like to speak. I like to be, you know, not that that person doesn't speak wonderfully because I love listening to her on podcasts and things, but like, we're just very different, our energy. And so if I tried to copy her way of doing things, it just wouldn't come off. It would feel weird or it would not feel right. See what I'm saying? But you can go off that feeling and go, well, I really like that they do this. So how can I, for one, does it make sense for me to incorporate that more into my way of doing things? Or is it just something that I resonate with? But it's not my way of being of service. But if it is something that I want to incorporate, you know, how can I incorporate that more? How can I incorporate being clearer? How can I incorporate teaching? How can I incorporate people's curiosity? How can I stoke that? Rather than how can I copy it and do it in the exact same way that she does it, you know, because I can't do that. And no one can do that to you. They can't do that with your work either. So it's just, that's a thing. again, not speaking of it monetarily. And I want to say this Does copying always mean that you'll fail? No. Can you copy something and make a ton of money? Yep. Can you copy something and make more money than the original person that did it? Yes. But morally, I mean, I have a huge issue with that. And also just energetically, it's really icky. It feels gross. Like, I don't want to say, you're going to fail and you're not going to make the money and it's going to suck and you're just going to be unhappy, because that doesn't always happen. But it's still taking, like, away your unique spark and covering it with something else. It's still not bringing you to the table. So I don't want to come at it and say you can't make money and that's why you shouldn't do it, or you can't, you know, it's always gonna not work anyway, so just be yourself. But that's not realistic to the way that things are. And I think it's also not fair, because people do get copied, and it does impact them in like that monetary living kind of way. So I didn't want to like kind of blow that off. But that aside, people can't, you can't copy the spirit, right? You can't copy someone else's spirit and put that into what you're doing, because you've got your own spirit and you can't be someone else. You're just you. And that's a great, wonderful thing. Everyone has gifts, everyone has strengths. You can, I promise you, if you're feeling drawn to being of service to people and you want to be of service, you can do it in your own way, and you have something to offer. And I'm not saying it's not hard work. You might be starting from like an idea that no one, you've never seen it before and no one knows what the heck it is, and you're having to do a lot of explaining of like, this is what this is and this is why I'm passionate about it. But it's still so much more worth it, because you're going to get people who resonate with that and come towards you and go, I needed that and I didn't see it anywhere else in the world, and I didn't even know that I needed it maybe, but you're there and I see it and I resonate with you and I really want to do this with you. I want to delve into that. And it's so much more satisfying and on like that spiritual level where you're like, oh, this is why I'm here. Like this, I helped this person. Like, this person was struggling with this thing, and because of my desire and inspiration to do that thing in that certain way, I was able to help that person with this, you know? So, to take a personal example for me, I love doing past life readings. And the thing I love about past life readings is seeing what patterns we have maybe repeated over and over that in this lifetime we're trying to change, we're trying to learn something about it, we're growing. So to me, past lives are about growth, and especially growth to now. And how I like to do it is look at a past life and then look at the kind of interim when we go back to spirit. How did we feel about it? What did we think about that life? What did we bring forward from it and go, okay, I want to do more of that next time, or oh, whoa, that really didn't work, I want to try this next time. So I like looking at it as like a, almost like an accordion of lives, and like rippling out into our present now. And that's the way I love to do past life readings. That's what's interesting to me. And another thing, excuse me, that I love with past lives is seeing those like qualities of the soul that come through over and over and over. Like, you're a tenacious soul, you're a playful soul, you're a courageous soul, you're whatever it is. It's like there's patterns to the soul that I think you see when you do past lives, and you do, especially if you look at multiple lives, because you'll see certain things keep coming up over and over that isn't just a pattern of like, I'm trying to learn about this thing and I'm trying to overcome this thing or whatever, but it's also just an intrinsic soul quality that that person has, and it comes out in every life. And I find that fascinating. And I had a client who actually recently came to me and said, ever since you did that reading for me last year, I've thought about that every single day, and it has impacted my life in such a deep way. I think about it every day, and I think about how can I live for myself, basically. How can I follow my soul and not give up and sacrifice what I want for someone else? Because that was a pattern that had come up in this past life, was that they gave and gave and gave everything to everyone else, but they didn't have for themselves. And so, like, hearing that, I could have cried. I felt it felt so amazing to hear that and hear their voice and see their face and to be like, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, is to do that work, because that's what I want. I want people to know their, to know their soul, basically, you know, to know their spirit. Like, to me, my work is very spirit led, and I mean that in a sense of like looking at us as part of spirit, and where we, and I know I talk about spirit in different ways, but like spirit is both the place that we go to after we pass, you know, we die, and also like our, that's what I think our soul is. It's like part of spirit, and it's our unique spark that's kind of like the spark that's part of the sun, you know, if that makes sense. And so I love, that's what I'm really driven by, is like helping people remember that, like that spark, that fire, that like pure beauty, that pure love, because I think it comes back to that love. It's like I want to help people remember that so that they can bring it in and live, you know, and like bring that into their lives more and feel that more, because I think that's what we tend to as humans be searching for, is like I feel cut off from that in some way, and I resonate with things that make me feel that love, that make me feel that spark, that make me feel that truth, you know. And this is going, I'm going all over the place, but like that's I feel like light when I say that, like I'm light in my body, and that, like, that's such joy to me. But you might, for example, be interested in doing past lives for a completely different reason. You might be interested in it just from purely curious, like a storybook. Like, if this is the book of all my past lives and every chapter is a different life, maybe it's curiosity. Like, what stories have I told? What archetypes have I told? Or what archetypes has that person told? You know, like, a very, yeah, story-based. You might be very fact-based. Like, I want to know where were they, what time in history, what was going on historically around then. You know, what did they look like? What age were they? Like, I've seen different past life people go at it from different ways like that. And it's like, we're all doing past lives, and we might cross over also. You know, like, you might be interested in that, like, spirit thing, and I'm interested in what was going on historically at that time. Sometimes depends what the life is, but it's like we can cross over, you know, but doing it in our own authentically driven way. So I think you can, you know, that's one way you can do it. It's like look at the people that you're inspired by or that you like, and rather than just go, okay, well, that word encompasses what they do, so I'll put it on what I do. It's like think about that, and you can even do that like kind of mind mapping or something about the word, even. It's like soul. If I think about soul, what do I think about? What does soul actually mean to me? For me, soul is that spirit, it's spark, it's divine inspiration, it's connection with God, it's love, it's God's self, it's, you know, etc., etc. But you might have a different idea of soul, you know. And so like doing that mind mapping and like expanding, basically what I would say is every time you see something that inspires you, like extrapolate on that, like look at it from your own perspective, your own experiences. What about that is inspiring? What do I feel from that? What do I want to feel? What do I want to give other people? You know, what feeling do I want to give people? And then later on, you can also get feedback on that, like how do I, either you can ask people or people will just tell you, which is really nice. But like for me, a lot of the things that people say about me is like really down to earth, really warm, feels like you're talking to a friend, feels like she really cares about you. Very clarifying, like I get that word a lot, clarity, soulful, you know, intentional, sweet, I get a lot. people talk about my laugh a lot, in a good way, thankfully. but like that's not anything that I'm really, you know, necessarily intentionally planning, but like that's how my energy comes across, because as much as I possibly can, I'm very intentional about how I'm putting my service out there and always bringing it back to you. What am I inspired by? What do I love? Because if I don't love doing something, even if I try it out and I go, okay, don't seem to love that, I'll stop doing it. And I think, you know, people are afraid to do that a lot because of the money thing. And I acknowledge that I also have privilege in that I don't have to keep doing something that I hate doing. Because that's a big thing. That is a privilege to do that. You know, it's like I and my family, we might not make the most money, but we certainly make enough that that is a thing I can do. That even if I have a service that people love, if I don't love it, I can just not, I can stop doing it. You know, I probably have to find something else to do instead and all of that. But I'm not so tied to having to make ends meet that I have to do something that I hate. So I want to acknowledge that too, that that is privilege in and of itself, being able to do that. And so obviously the way that I'm coming at things might not fit for you, and I completely acknowledge that. So don't feel that you have to take this and be like, well, I have to do it that way, you know. This is just a perspective on it. But yeah, I get that, you know, and money is a huge thing for people. So people will do things that make that money. And I get it. In the society we live in, money's a thing. We need it to live in the society that we're in, generally. So I get that it's a drive for people and a need for people to make that. But I find that, and I'm going to close out with this, but like when you refine something and you go, okay, I like that thing, but not exactly that. Let me tweak it. Let me change it. Or let me stop doing it, you know? You make space for the things that are you authentically. And like, that's what I want to encourage people to do. Whatever your thing is that you love to do, I'm sure there's someone out there who would love to do it with you and who would benefit from it as a service. Yeah, I think you do have to look at it too as like, money might not always be the biggest thing that comes from it. You might not make a ton of money from it. You might, but you might not. So I think money being the, not that I think a lot of people like this, but, you know, and in the spiritual community things, but it can't be the only drive. But then I also think that can't be the only drive if you're wanting to be of that kind of service anyway. Because people can feel that and it feels really weird. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I think everything came out of my brain the way I wanted it to, hopefully. If you have any questions, please feel free to let me know. You can email me at thesacredcocoon@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Instagram, which is, again, @thesacredcocoon. You can do it on Facebook too, which is The Sacred Cocoon, but I'm not on Facebook very often, and also my phone tends to get weird with it, so I don't often see things sometimes on there, so you're more likely to get me through Instagram. And yeah, if you'd like to book a session, like I said, you can do that through my Etsy shop, which is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. You can book a session that's already there. If you have something that you would like to look into with me, but it's not offered, please do let me know. I would love to talk to you and we might be able to figure something out. I'm more than happy to do custom readings and listings and work. I also am open to things like spell work, but I can't put that on Etsy just because of their rules. But I'm open to like healing work and spell work and things like that. So if you're interested in that too, please do let me know. Yeah, I'm at the shop, like I said, the Four of Wands in Fayetteville on Fridays and Saturdays, if you are interested in coming to see me then. And I think that's it. So I'm sending you so much love from my heart to yours. Big, big love. And I will talk to you later. Bye.